welcome to the Scare Guy, or should I say Scare Gal. The ladies have taken over. We went to the Queenberry, Universal Studios, a couple other theme parks we're going to tell you about, as well as leading ladies of horror and so much more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Yay! Almost all. Wait, it's coming in quiet.
There it is. Wait for it.
We'll wait for the drop. Yay! And the music and the lights. Yay! Welcome to this special edition of the Scare Guy. It's been taken over by the ladies. Woo! So it's ladies' night. My name is Carrie Lane. I'm joined by an amazing panel. We'll go down the line. Introduce yourself and tell us something that you're doing with horror, or, you know, let people know. How are you in the know with horror?
Hey guys, I'm Megan Salinas, and I am the host of the YouTube channel Silver Screams.
Ooh. Nice.
Hey, I'm Samara Howell, and I'm an actress and a filmmaker, and I star in the upcoming dark thriller Sweet Caroline.
Hey everyone, this is Chauncey K. Robinson, and I have a YouTube channel of The Bloody Breakdown, Twist the Girl Next Door, and I also write articles about horror movies and culture.
Sweet. And we have Tony in the booth, say hello, who's not a lady, but, you know, he's allowed to be a part of this party.
We'll allow it.
Hold on. I didn't do my own mic check.
Oh, no. Well, I'll just say Tony hosts on Horror Movie News.
Hello, is that better?
He is. Yes.
Sorry about that, everybody. Hello, my name is Tony. my name is Anthony Becerra. Welcome to the show. My God. Can't wait to see how this is going to unfold.
He just can't handle all this awesomeness. Yes. Tony and myself, we're also hosts on Horror Movie News, which is part of Popcorn Talk as well. And then I myself am a director and filmmaker and made some horror films. And we're going to talk about a horror film that I was assistant director on as well. So right at the top, let's get into why is it Ladies Night and where are Luke and Jim? So Luke and I was like, yeah, sure, totally, man. We'll take care of this. So Luke and Jim are in Florida at Universal Studios Orlando Halloween Horror Nights. And you can check out their visit at The Scare Guy on both Twitter and Instagram. So that's The Scare Guy.
And they're having just like the worst time.
No, their photos look awesome.
They look
like,
so miserable.
They're so unhappy.
Yes.
What?
Who's been to the Orlando one?
I haven't.
Oh, you guys, there's like 26 mazes or something.
That's what
crazy.
They're saying. They're like, it's amazing.
Holy cow. Yeah. It's like you could go two nights in a row and honestly maybe not get into every maze.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. So like, yeah.
Bucket list.
They really make use of that extra real estate.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yes. Nice. So they face off from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Michael Myers, Ghost from Poltergeist, and of course the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. When they come back, they'll compare the Halloween Horror Nights of Orlando to the one in Hollywood. So they'll be back shortly. And then we all love horror events. Megan, why don't you let us know about some upcoming horror conventions and events?
Sure thing. On October 4th through the 7th, we've got Shriek Fest and Bi-Coastal Horror Film Festival in in Los Angeles, I believe. And Orlando is going to be on November 3rd, October 5th through the 7th. We've got Night at the Living Dead 50th anniversary celebration in Evans City, Pennsylvania, October 12th through the 14th. Halloween 40 Years of Terror in Pasadena, California, which, of course, as all you horror aficionados know, is where the film was originally shot all those years ago. Oh, I'm so excited for the new movie, you guys. October 12th through the 14th as well, Rock and Shock Horror Convention in Worcester, Massachusetts. And October 26th through the 28th, Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. And November 3rd through the 4th, for all of your post-Halloween blues, we've got New York City Horrify Expo in New York City.
And then, Chauncey, you have an event coming up that you're connected to with Film Festival Horror Stuff.
Yes, that was the first one. That's coming up this Thursday. I am going to be the official red carpet girl.
Woo!
And it's just going to be a really awesome time. It's the longest running, I believe the longest running horror film festival in Los Angeles, actually.
Nice.
So it's been going on for some time. And Denise, who's like the head woman, head show with this, it's really going to be awesome. Really great stuff. And I'm really excited to be attending the films and actually bringing people all of the info about it.
Sweet. As it happens. Look forward to it. Yes, you need to link it. And I know Jim will put it on their site as well. Awesome. So theme parks, Megan, you went to Universal Horror Nights.
I did.
Here in Hollywood. How was that?
It was the first year we did the express tickets, me and my friends. So this is the first year we were able to do all the, and this is such a weird thing to say. This is the first year we were able to do all the mazes. Because in previous years, we've just gotten regular tickets, and you're standing in line for anywhere from, anywhere from 40 minutes to 2 hours. And it's way too long. I highly recommend doing the express tickets nowadays, because it's just gotten too big. But it was so much fun.
How long are the mazes?
How long are they?
Yeah.
Like,
or do they vary in length?
Some of them feel longer than others. Okay. Like, I feel like the Universal Monster Maze was a little bit longer than a lot of the other ones. Like, it felt... Maybe it's just because of the way the layout was, but it felt... At least like a quarter long, about like a quarter longer than everything else, like 25% longer than all the other mazes. But I think maybe you can get through the mazes, depending on how crowded it is, anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes through the maze. You know, if you're like
45 minutes,
if you're like,
it's a roller coaster ride, pretty much.
If you're
what day of the week?
If you're like power walking through,
I think the scariest statement is that the line.
that's
a horror show.
No, wait, what day of the week did you go?
We went on Saturday.
Yeah, okay, so that does factor into a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. If you go on a different night, you know, the wait's probably not going to be nearly as bad. And obviously, the weekend that you choose to go, the closer it gets to Halloween, obviously, the more and more crowded it's going to get, which is why we try to knock it out early every year. I know a lot of other people prefer things like Not Scary Farm or Six Flags, you know, things like that, because every horror attraction has different sort of flavors to it. Mm-hmm. Something I always appreciate about Universal Horror Nights is its production value.
True.
And I got to tell you, some of the puppeteering for this year is absolutely on par with what they've done in years past. Poltergeist was definitely my favorite maze, which I had completely forgotten that they were doing a Poltergeist maze this year until we got in line, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess they're doing Poltergeist, and it completely blew me away. It was fantastic. Trick or Treat was also a delight. It was like seeing the film come to life.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
Love that movie.
And of course, Stranger Things is going to be the big crowd drawer this year. I thought it was great. It was like the Demogorgon looked fantastic. So kudos to everybody on the Universal Horror Nights production team. Everything looked fabulous.
How much are the express tickets?
Are they like 100? They're 100 something?
No.
More?
More. Obviously, it depends on the night you're going. Certain nights are going to be more expensive than others. But for this year's express tickets for the night we went, $200.
Does that include entrance into the park, or is that on top of...
That is just for horror nights. That's not... Because there are some options where you can get into the park at 2 p.m.
Uh-huh. Right.
And there are other options where you can get more like VIP experiences and things like that. But yeah, we were just express tickets for just horror nights. It was $200.
For $200, you can have a man come to your house in a mask and do a scary house.
Somebody would do it.
Slight complaint. I am more biased towards Knott's, but it's also because I worked there for 3 years. But the problem with Universal is their line control is not great. If it takes forever to get through all the mazes, like Knott's, you could go through twice of all of them. But Universal, but yes, production value is great, but line management,
This is my 8th year going to Universal Horror Nights, and this is the first year I've been able to do all the mazes.
Take a moment to assess that.
There was one
because they're the people who show up at 8 and the park opened at 6, and I'm like, dude, you wasted 2 hours right there. What are you doing?
We try to get there on time.
Okay, okay.
There was only one year where we didn't get there right when it opened, and that was the very first year we went. So
cool. Well, good to know. I want to go. I want to somehow fit in there.
What do they do at What do they do at Six Flags?
The Fright Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fright Fest.
Similar idea. I have not been to that one yet.
I went last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. It's one of those things as well. If you don't have express tickets or whatnot, you're not going to get into all of the mazes and whatnot. And I just I have a tendency to not like to stand in lines at all. So it's just like, if I have access, that's great. If I don't, well, I'll pick my favorite, like, one or two.
Yeah.
But then you also get to, like, be in the park, too, as well, and ride the roller coasters before
nighttime. Yeah, that's the thing with Universal. You have to keep in mind, for Horror Nights, they keep some of the rides open. But there are others that they close during when the park is there for Horror Nights. Like, you don't have access to Hogwarts when I don't know why they do that, but I'm assuming,
because you gotta pay more to go there.
I'm assuming it's because it's not on brand. Like, it's not on brand with Harry Potter.
It's new. They made more money with it. They want you to come back for it.
I'm sure.
When it first opened, I had that too. Like, and they had a wristband, and they're like, no, you can't go in.
Capitalism.
Yes. Curses. Oh, absolutely.
But they've also got Jurassic Park closed right now, because they're in the middle of revamping it to be Jurassic World.
Yeah.
So that one's closed, but they've still got the Mummy, Transformers, and the Simpsons going as normal.
Oh, sweet. So that's open while...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Cool. See, I'm the person, I don't want to ride any rides, because those are there all the time. I want to go for Just Amazes.
True.
It's a nice change of pace if you want to sit.
So another theme park I went to, Queen Mary Dark Harbor. Have any of you been to that before?
Yeah. I've been to the
Queen
Mary.
Yes, we went one year.
I've been to the Queen Mary, not to Dark Harbor.
This year, I think they did an amazing job. I mean, I did go on media night, so I did not have to wait in lines. But the lines weren't atrocious. And they funneled them better, this year. Some of the makeup, like this picture, this was a guy in... Well, which maze was this one? It was... I'm like, wait, nope, I'm going to find it later. But this maze, like, I just thought the makeup was really great, because I get close to people and I'm just like, oh, it's nice. Like, it's not just, you know, airbrush real quick or something like that. The mazes felt very long. They have six mazes. But the other thing about it is, this year they added, like, choose your own direction. Ooh. Like, there are parts where you can go different ways.
I like that.
And it's a different experience.
Like that. That's incredible.
In the Circus maze, you can go left or right. And it's a completely different thing if you go left or right.
So you could do it again and then have a different experience.
And you come back to where the other people are, but there's a big chunk of it that's different.
Nice.
There's a lot of sections where you get to, like, walk through things. Oh, yeah, this is the doll one. This maze was great. I'm like, where am I? I had it on my list. I'm trying to read it, and I'm like, where am I? I feel like I need my glasses up here. Okay. So the one where the guy was in is Dead Rise, and then there is the Circus maze. So that one has a very two-change, like, direction thing. In Feast, there's a part where you can, like, go up a ramp and walk through, like, an air vent, essentially.
Whoa.
Like, crawl through it, and you can see people do it. So you can walk around it, or you can walk through it.
Wow.
And at first, the monster, like, gestures, and I was thinking, oh, you're just kidding. And I'm like, oh, no, you can go through here? Absolutely. Then there's Lullaby, that was the rocking chair, and B340, and Intrepid. Intrepid is really good, too.
B340?
Yes, because it's room.
Oh, the actual room.
Yes.
That's the thing that I think is super dope about Dark Harbor, is that, like, allegedly the Queen Mary's actually haunted.
Yeah,
like a whole other level.
Lullaby, B340, and Feast are all on the ship, and I love the Choose Your Own Adventure, and, like, I do highly recommend flats, comfortable shoes, and... be prepared for walking and stairs. I do not know about their, like, ADA kind of access. There were parts that were just like, oh, we have a lot of stairs right now. Or there was parts where you could avoid it. Like, one of them, you could literally walk up kind of this high ramp and crawl around something. Or you could just walk sideways and go around it. So I like that they have that option.
Yeah.
Do they have anything for the sailor who died?
I do not recall. Well, the Intrepid maze was all of a lot about the sail. Is like this train. That one's the train, not the sailors. No. Dead Rise is like the ship and the sailors.
So like 40s World War II.
That was the guy who had the really messed up face.
Team. Yeah. Because what actually happened is he was between these two doors.
Yes.
And it just slammed shut on him, and he got crushed in half. He was like 18 years old. Oh. Too. Like, he just enlisted. It was super sad.
Poor baby.
Also, something exciting for all you 21 and over folks, there are secret bars in
secret
four different
bars.
Spots. Yes, like literally.
To drink alcohol.
Yes. There's two of them where you get free alcohol because you have a coin, and that gives you your clue on how to find the maze, like the secret bar in the maze. And it's literally like a secret panel on the wall that they'll like open, and you can go inside.
Whoa.
They're having in your party, and they have secret little
that's
shots
so
and stuff.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was like.
So is it just one shot though, or do you get like,
well,
oh,
if you do
drink,
a few, so the one in B340, that one you had it was like multiple cocktails. Oh, all these videos are on the Scare Guy. I'll be making them all public very shortly, but I went to all of them and I had a little video of like, here's the thing you do. That one you could do like, it was like a mix of all the drinks, and then the other one was a tequila sprite and a Slim Jim shot thing.
Ooh.
Which was like a savory chaser, which was actually really good.
Okay.
So that's one in the circus one, which is very hard to find. It took me four times going through that maze. You can see my video. I'm like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to find it.
People keep jumping out at you and you're like, out of the way.
You're like, I'm just looking for this thing. I'm looking for the thing. That one, it's like, they have like a pickled shot or like a horchata sprinkled shot.
Oh, okay.
And they make them strong. There's also an ice bar, which is not hidden, but it's funny because people lined up for it and they were like, this is a bar. And about half the people go, oh, okay, and leave. And the other half are like, yeah,
we know.
Yeah. So it's just kind of fun to change that up for, you know, the 21 and over crowd.
Yeah.
One of the bars is on the ship, which was very fun to find as well. I have a quick, I want to show a little bit of a video. I talked with the captain. The captain on the ship, because I found him in there, and then I was like, wait, can I interview you please? And he was super chill about it, and we'll pull that up in a second. It says in your little, I have my little map here, you can, how to get the coins to get it, and they tell you on the secret thing. So they have sidebar, door 13, the lineup, and broken compass are all the different secret bars.
Mm.
And some of the characters can give you those coins, and it tells you all about that in their little program. Okay, here we go. So this is me with the captain on the in the secret bar.
And guess what? I found the captain himself, the captain of Queen Mary Dark Harbor. Hello, sir.
Hello. Sorry, I thought you were talking about me when you said the Skye guy.
You kind of are. Yeah.
I'm Carrie with the Skye guy. I thought that was me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. There's another Skye guy?
He looks like a white walker.
I want to be the only Skye guy.
He does.
You know
that,
right?
That means you got to get rid of the others, right?
That's what I do best.
How is the Queen Mary Dark Harbor experience going thus far?
So far, it's going excellently. It's a whole different experience this year. It's a lot more immersive. It's a little choose your own adventure. You have to find certain secret bars, which you have done very well. You found them all, am I correct?
Yes, we have found them all. And actually, right now, we are in the last one to find, which is on the ship itself.
So that's all we can say.
Yes, that's it. This one, ask around. And ask politely. That was the other thing I was saying. Ask politely. Don't be rude.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then you can watch the rest of this video. He was very funny. One of the big tips, I kind of asked, like, what are some suggestions? It was, like, what do you recommend? And people, get there early. Because I forget what time it opens exactly, but get there early. Get that time to park and get there, you know, and enjoy yourself. Because if you're getting there at 10 p.m. or something,
the night is
rushing,
gone.
And you're going to be like, oh, man.
Real quick, Carrie.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch the rest of that. Where could I find it?
Yes, it's on the Scare Guys YouTube page. I have all the videos on there. I just put them up private because I didn't write a description yet.
Perfect.
But they will all be on there. They're very, I hope you enjoy them. I wanted them to be fun and very casual of like you experiencing my experience of it. And yeah, that guy was super fun to talk with. And
He's fun.
He was very funny.
He reminds me of Fred Willard, and I don't know why, but just kind of like, it's like Fred Willard put on makeup and is pretending to be British. It seems like a dream.
So
you're like, did I make that up?
Did this video actually happen? Am I asleep?
Yeah. So that's all. Those are from videos from the Queen Mary. I'll be posting more. Check the Scare Guy on YouTube, and then we'll definitely link it via Twitter and then our own pages. So those will all be up. Loved Queen Mary. I do highly recommend it this year. Changing up the secret bars and the choosing your own direction and the more obstacle course. Oh my gosh, so much more exciting than just like, I'm like, oh, it's like literally a maze now, not just a walkthrough. Because I hate when they are like, it's a maze, for air quotes for those listening. Because I'm like, you don't pick where you go. But this one's like, which way do you want to go? Oh,
that's great.
Which way do you want to go?
That's the thing with Horror Nights at Universal is like, yeah, they're not mazes.
They're walkthroughs.
They're walkthroughs.
Yes.
If it was
amazed, I would probably still be there.
Would you say the price is good for the experience?
Oh, that's the other
time?
Thing, too. Look online for coupons. Queen Mary totally has lots of coupons online. It's much cheaper than most of the other parks.
Oh, okay.
The other thing, too, that I liked, I did them on our social media, was they have a lot of performers as well. They have, like, Silks, Hula Hoop.
That's so cool.
Like, little ventriloquist dummies. They have sideshow people. And that's kind of nice to sit down and take a break or, you know, just multiple activities. So you're not just...
Ventriloquist dummies. Like, why has no one ever
done
that?
It's like a little person. Yes. Oh, it's great. Oh, the one guy had, like, a puppet and she took her top off and it's a little skeleton. It's hilarious. It's like making her wiggle. Yeah. So Samara is our special guest and has been on a couple horror shows and such. Tell us about some of the projects you've worked on and how is it working on those?
Yeah, sure. So I've done two episodes of American Horror Story, one in Hotel and one in Cult. I like to say that I kind of regressed because on Hotel I played a cop. And then in Cult, I play a victim, and I'm like, oh, it's gone poorly.
Both are cool.
Yeah. So, normally you'd think you'd work your way up from victim to cop, and I went the opposite way. So I think we have a clip of that.
Yeah, we have the Cult clip.
Yes, that's a better clip.
Shit, door's locked.
Well, only one way to go.
It's a little hard to see on the screen. Are you the other person in the room with him or no?
You'll see me right now.
Speak for the unborn.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys.
There you are.
I liked being a cop better.
What? Oh, my God.
My sister didn't recognize me.
Ethan. He kidnapped me. He's making me do this. Not a show.
It's really good.
Oh!
This is real blood.
So I'm not up to this scene yet. Is it like at a theme park thing that they think it's a show?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of immersive theater.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a hell house. And that's Rick Springfield, you guys, who sings Jesse's Girl. Like the actual Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. Yeah.
We could probably cut
it there. There's a next scene, but that'll like really spoil some stuff.
Okay,
so
yeah, we'll stop there.
That'll like extra spoil stuff.
Oh, that's terrible.
I haven't come in yet. There I am. Oh.
This is the thing. This show is so secretive that you don't know anything. So it's not until I show up till my costume fitting. They're like, do you know what you're doing? And I'm like, no. And they're like, okay. So your uterus has been cut out. And
whoa.
I'm like, okay. All right. This is Tuesday. Why not?
Sure.
Might as well do this today.
So if you're working on American Horror Story, you need to be able to yes and literally
anything. So much. So that was fun.
Can I ask, how much prep time did you have to be able to get into that space where you're like, okay, I'm this victim with, like, you know?
So I knew what I was doing, I want to say 2 or 3 days before when I had my costume fitting, and then I got the actual script the day before.
Oof.
So, like, a day. Mm-hmm.
So not a ton of time, but, like, at least you're not, like, walking onto the set and they hand you the script.
Yeah, I mean, obviously changes happen, like, as you're filming. But, yeah, I mean, like, enough to know, like, oh, it's going to be a dark day today. Like, the day is a dark day.
That looked pretty uncomfortable, too. Was it, like, were you sitting on set like that for, like, a couple? Like,
yeah, I mean, I have got to give that crew, like, credit because they're so used to it, right? Like, normally, I think if you're on a show where they don't do a lot of special effects makeup, then they're not as savvy to the fact that, like, hey, it's really uncomfortable.
Mm.
But they do it all the time. So, like, between takes, it was basically like they were like, all right, de-strap her. Do you want to stand down? Like, and my legs would fall asleep, so somebody would have to, like, hold me up. But I have a really great story about that. So there's, like, fake blood everywhere, right? Like, everywhere. And, like, between takes, the makeup lady is, like, applying fresh blood to my inner thighs. So I go to the Honey
As
Wagon.
You do.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tuesday, why not? So I go to the Honey Wagon, which is what we call the on-set bathroom, and I sit down and I go to the bathroom.
Oh, no!
And then try to stand up.
I know where this is going.
And I can't stand up because fake blood is mostly sugar.
Oh, no!
And it's really sticky. So I'm like, okay, just grit your teeth and get up. So I get up, and it's like, you know, when your skin sticks to the chair. It's like that, but worse.
Oh my gosh.
And there's this giant, massive, bloody ring just all over the toilet. And I'm like, I gotta tell somebody. I can't, this is not,
I can't just leave it.
And first off, and let's be real, it was me. No one's gonna know.
Yeah, no one's gonna be like, who did this?
Yeah. Like, who's on this set? No, it was me.
Oh my gosh.
So then I had to find some poor piano and just walk out there, and I'm like, look, man, I know this is like, you know, questionable whether or not this is your job. But there's a lot of fake blood on that toilet seat. And this, like, more experienced tour guy, I don't know his position because there's like 400 people on that set, no lie. But he just comes walking up and he just says to the PA, he's like, hot water, go. It's mostly sugar. Just pour it over. Get it from craft services. And then he just turns to me. He's like, welcome back to Horse Story.
I was like, to his credit, yeah, you were probably not the first one to leave the bathroom a bloody mess.
The shower on the second day, because they wouldn't let me wash my hair in between the 2 days.
Oh.
But the shower on the second day was like a nightmare. Gross, so gross.
And then we don't have a clip of it, but you also did Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I think you do have a clip victim of it, actually.
Okay. I think that was a longer one, so then I was having trouble pulling from the...
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it's queued up to. But yeah, there's Teen Wolf, and then there's also Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories, which is the weirdest set I've ever been on.
How was that?
Yeah,
Exactly how you think that's gonna go. It's the only time I've ever cried in a comedy for real. And like, I knew as soon as I did this take, like, he didn't direct me to cry, but I was like, if I cry, he's really gonna like it. And I did. And he was like, yeah, more. Like, okay, all right, here we go. Yeah, I mean, we just shot it, like, in their office in the middle. Like, they literally had to get everyone else in the office to stop doing what they're doing for sound. Like, it was so random. I was there for, like, 90 minutes. It was, like, I felt like an answer to Craigslist ad. Like, oh,
I need to come out and cry.
Yeah. exactly. So.
Now, do you find yourself drawn to horror, or you enjoy any particular difference in other genres?
Well, I mean, I like to watch it. Mm-hmm. I think that I would like to be in it more if I was, like, the girl who lived. And
you want to be the final girl, yes.
Totally. And, like, in those three experiences,
which
it's like,
you are, and only the smart survive.
Yeah, that's very true. Which I feel like is actually more on type for me. I have really, big round eyes, and apparently it's super sad if I die or something. Because I just, like, look like I just milked a cow.
Sorry. Yeah. Your puppy dog eyes say we have to kill you.
I know. It's just a little... Yeah, but in the feature that I'm in, which premieres on Saturday at the Sunscreen West Film Festival in Hermosa Beach, and we have some other screenings in LA coming up, it's like Black Swan, and I slowly go insane over time.
Okay. Awesome.
Yes, and that was much more fun, to be like, oh, I get to kill people. Like, yes. Oh, this is good. Okay, I want to do this. So.
Nice. And then what, any other projects you have coming up that you want to promote?
Yeah. Weirdly, I'm in a horror short called Wake at the same festival, the same day on Saturday in the shorts program. And there's no connection. And I was like,
except you.
Yeah. Well, but I don't know, like, the festival programs or anything. So I found out, like, independently from each film, and I was like, what? Like, the same day? And I'm like, well, that's convenient.
You're like, cool, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then a film that I directed called Avowed, which is not horror related at all.
No.
not even a little bit. It's about a nun and a disabled man, so it's like not in that genre. It's playing October 19th, which is a Friday at 6 p.m. at the Downtown LA Film Festival.
Nice.
And then a horror adjacent, more like a dark fantasy film that I directed, is playing in Georgia at the Way Down Film Festival. I want to say the 20th of October, maybe the 21st. So in the next month, I have 4 films and 9 festivals across the country.
That is awesome.
So,
congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Very exciting.
It's going.
Yay.
Staying busy.
Actually, another film festival one that these ladies got to go to with me.
Yes!
We saw Followed, so here we are on the red carpet. So Followed was a film that I assistant directed on, and
yes.
I know I told you a lot about while we were filming that one, and it's a horror film. It was premiered at the Burbank International Film Festival. It won for Best Horror at the Burbank International.
Yes. Rightly so.
Yeah. Yay, thank you. And then it was definitely a fun challenge to get this film done, because it's it's a lot, and it's, if you guys have not heard about it at all, because we have definitely talked about it on other episodes of The Scare Guy of the past, like, 2 years, because I was like, wait, we filmed that a while ago. It's a kind of found footage, but it's done via, like, a YouTuber's videos, which I love so much better, because it's like, oh, good, someone who can actually hold a freaking camera.
Yeah.
Oh, found footage. No, it's like, I don't believe that nowadays at all. Everybody has phones. No. We all know how to film.
Yeah.
Come we on. All have the stabilizer.
Yes, come on. So... there's that. It is currently doing the festival circuit. Check out Followed on social media, and you can be up to date on the different awards and festivals it's doing. But I don't want to say how I felt about it, because I worked on it, so I'm slightly biased. But Megan, Chauncey, what did you think about it? Because you were able to come to the premiere.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed it. I mean, one of my things, especially when... I actually wrote an article about it for People's World, the publication that I'm a staff writing editor for. And one of the things I dug into was that it was deeper than jump scares, you know? Like, just the fact that it was taking place in Los Angeles, which has a huge, like, homeless population, and it, you know, ties certain themes into that, not to get too, like, spoiler or whatever. And I just love the fact, like, you were just saying about found footage. I kept saying, like, after we were talking to people, I was like, it's vlog footage. Like, that's the new thing, vlog footage of a way of using this technology and the plot point. And it actually is very much connected to history in L.A., because it's based on very true, of the Cecil Hotel?
The Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, Hotel.
Stay on Main.
And it was, I just really enjoyed it. I mean, it had a very natural thing. Because, you know, one of the things about things like this, especially when you're commentary on, like, millennial culture and the whole idea of everyone wanted to film everything, is you can, people can descend into caricatures where it's like, okay, is this a real person? But I felt like every character was fleshed out. Mm. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. Like, I didn't hate the main character, because sometimes you watch horror picture, you're just waiting for someone to die.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Strangers do.
Right? So it's like, in this case, I was like, oh, I actually care about this person's plight. Which I think raises the stakes and makes you more invested. And when you're more invested in a horror plot, then it means more, I think, in a good way.
Yeah. And then actually Tony saw a screener of it, and you said something similar of, like, you didn't necessarily hate the main guy, even though you kind of almost want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, at first I felt like I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah. There's definitely that.
Yeah, he played that part really well, being the, like, super eccentric, like, YouTuber who sold his soul for views, you know? And over time, I like how they developed his character and how he actually... you know, they broke him down finally, and like it's revealed of what he's doing it for, and like he actually does have a heart, and he's not just doing it for the views, like he's doing it for his soon-to-be family, and then that all falls apart.
Yeah.
And Megan? I have to completely agree with you guys. Matthew Solomon, who plays...
And he's so nice.
The titular drop the mic.
Yeah.
He knocks it out of the park. If you guys had gotten a lesser actor to be the central focus, this could have easily fallen apart. He is the heart and soul of the film, and he gives one hell of a performance. And he... his range is fantastic, because he goes from being that irreverent... like, borderline irredeemable asshole to then, as the film develops, you really get to see him, like, the heart underneath that exterior. And like you were saying, Chauncey, this could have very easily been a caricature when coming to the point where you're making commentary about millennial culture and everything like that. I thought it was a very interesting character study on an online personality.
Yeah.
And... in a world where we live in a world where Logan Paul is a thing, and because of his actions, YouTube was, YouTube suffered like a lot, and it's so much harder for independent creators to make a living online now, very much because he exploited the YouTube algorithm. And I love that this movie was written years before that happened. And so it's just such an interesting look at the cult of personality and the online hustle and, you know, the struggles of a content creator in 2018, even though this movie was written years before. Yeah. It's one of those things where I appreciated the character study. I appreciated how non-condescending the commentary was.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And there are a couple sequences that, again, Antoine Lee just knocked out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yay! So also, check. Yeah.
Shameless plug, if you want to see and hear more like behind the scenes on That's the true. Film itself, we did have the producers and Matthew Solomon as well.
We had the writer, producer, director, and actor.
Yes.
On Horror Movie News.
Yeah, exactly. So find that on this channel on the Popcorn Talk and Network.
If you want to go further back, there was also an iTalk movie.
Yes. You interviewed them as well.
It was funny because I was like, oh, yeah, I did that a year ago. No, that was 2 years ago.
That's back when they finished it. Yeah. All right. So towards the end here, but I did want to talk about, since it was ladies' night, I'm like, all right, a couple broad topics and take whatever direction.
Broad.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. You know, master puns and all. One is female-led horror films, top ones that come to your mind, ones that stand out to you. And now that could be a cast that's mostly female, a lead female actor or filmmaker, or just badass female characters that stand out. Because we have the new Halloween movie coming out. Jamie Lee Curtis. I love that it's an older woman who's a badass. Because normally, you know, we get our just young 20-somethings. And, like, no diversity on women who are above 30. So I was like, yes! I'm so excited for that one.
Talking about that, like, I really appreciate the Insidious films.
Even
when the series is at its worst, its focus on Elise as a character and how she sort of slowly becomes the protagonist, even though she gets killed in the first movie, it's incredible. And yeah, like you were saying, it's just she's such an atypical horror movie protagonist that I watched that movie and I'm so appreciative of, like, even when the franchise missteps and it's like the not all of the movies are great, I'm still like, way to go. Like, there are so few horror franchises that would make Elise the main character, and yet here she is.
Yeah. Anyone stand out to you, ladies?
I gotta rep my, like, two favorite horror female filmmakers, which would be Mary Harron for American Psycho, because that film is so good. And she found a way to take, like, some of the most chauvinistic material and make it into the most feminist material, which is impressive and hard. And then also Jennifer Kent for The Babadook.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though I didn't like that movie.
You did not?
No.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Good day to you, madam.
I know. But you know what? Okay, I like the short that it's based on.
Yeah. I just more. I liked that it felt handmade. Like, sure, the design of it really felt that way. And I liked that it was about motherhood and it was about something that felt like a uniquely female experience.
It wasn't a romanticized look at motherhood.
God, like, so many films try to be.
Yeah, no, it was like, ooh.
Then again, I don't like children horror films mostly.
Yeah. I mean, I respect it for that, but like as a personal horror, I was just like,
And then I love that two of the killers in The Strangers are women. Like, I just am like, yeah, two versus one. Okay, yeah, let's
girls
do it.
Doing it for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Those murder people.
Chauncey, what are some ones that stand up for you?
Well, I mean, my favorite forever and ever is Nancy, pretty much, from the you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Heather Landkamp, just because she fought Freddy inside and then also meta with New Nightmare. And I just felt like she was a character where she could have been like the quintessential good girl type thing, but she also had like an edge to her that was kind of subtle. It was like, screw your hall pass. Like, it was just, there was just a subtle like strength in her. And just the way I kind of like Heather's, like, I don't know, vibe about her. Like, just there's just a certain subtlety without being too like badass type, but like also like there's a subtle strength in there. And Nightmare on Elm Street is like my favorite franchise. So
Wes Craven could really pick his lead.
Exactly.
Because I feel the exact
same
way. Because
in Dream Warriors, it was the same thing. Yeah. It was like he wasn't part of that one, but like it was just like, that whole series has some really great women characters, actually.
Yeah. And Dream Warriors is one of the few horror movies that treats a returning character with the weight and gravitas that it deserves.
Yeah.
And she gets killed at the very end, but in a meaningful way. Yeah. It's a beautiful send-off for the character, and it's not just like...
And then she comes back.
Yeah.
As Heather.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just like a lot of the other horror movies at the time where they would kill off the surviving character in the first act to be like, ooh, it's serious business now. Yeah. And it's like, no, guys, her coming back meant something. Yeah. And I really appreciated that. And Wes Craven, a lot of what you said about Nancy, that's how I feel about Neve Campbell in Scream.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, my second one. And that's that same sort of subtle you know, strength. It's like, you know, she's the mousy one, but not like stereotypical mousy, like, oh, I don't, but it's like, oh, I've got these issues. I'm not necessarily perfect. I've got these problems. My mother, all this, you know, questionable thing, but I still have a boyfriend, you know, like I'm still sexual in that sense. And she's allowed to kind of own that, but also kind of find her strength towards the end, which I just, you know, I just love those characters where there's just like some layers to it. It's not necessarily, like there's growth throughout the movie.
So. Yeah. They're allowed to be more than just one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Female group one that first came to my mind was The Descent.
Yes. So I was like, yes.
We're talking about the original cut, the original, right?
Not the version that they gave us in America, which isn't cool.
I think they're both interesting, and you can have different endings on how you feel on them. But
original endings matter.
It was just a great one of, like, it's pretty much all female characters, and it's scary. It's, you get that claustrophobia feel on it, though, as a amateur but still rock climber. Using someone else's carabiner drove me nuts the entire movie. I'm like, that's a stupid move. But besides that, everything else, I was like, yes, it like really got you invested on these people, and you're just like, nope, back up, run!
I like that if nobody told you, you could get 40 minutes into that movie and have no idea you were watching a horror film.
I always appreciate a movie that can do that. Like, From Dusk Till Dawn, where you're watching a completely different movie until the horror actually steps in. Yeah. And then you're like, what's happening?
this movie's so good.
I want to help on this one because I'm like, oh, they blended together. I watched them all. In the Hellraiser, there's one where the girl fights back. I want to say it was like the third one?
There are female protagonists for most of the Hellraiser franchise.
Yeah, we all go with
Christy. She's the protagonist for 1 and 2, and I don't remember who the one for 3 is. Christy, do not mess with her. She is cutthroat, and she will go to some crazy lengths to survive the nonsense that she's going through. So don't mess with her.
Like, you for it is nonsense.
She wore another woman's skin in the second one. Like, she don't mess around.
Thank you for the assist, because I'm like, yeah, I remember watching those as like a whole thing together. It's so either, I was just like, wait, which one?
It's either Kirsty or Kirsty.
There's some
don't
good
recall.
Female characters in that Hellraiser series.
I feel like we gotta rep Ripley though. Like.
That one, I'm like, it's that genre bending. I'm like, it's sci-fi horror. Yeah,
it's horror.
Yeah, it's enough. Yeah.
Okay.
It evolves into an action series. Yeah. But yeah, it's
the first one you can say is horror.
Yeah, it's roots sci-fi horror. In horror. And
as
I would
much
say
as the thing is.
Yeah.
I would say that 2 is also a horror action movie. I know it's mostly gets categorized as an action movie, but I'm like, no, it's still got those horrific elements.
Yeah. I'm all the thing. Tony's favorite movie ever. He's all quiet.
What? Oh, sorry.
She's all the thing, and I'm like, your favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I'd be curious, any lady movies come into your mind, Tony? Put you on the spot.
I was personally a fan of Revenge, if you guys
We did talk
that.
About that film.
I really enjoyed that one.
I don't know that one.
I don't either.
It's on Shudder.
Go for it, Tony. Ooh. You want to give the setup on that one?
It's like it's a rape revenge film. Three.
I'll add to this, but yes. So wait, okay. I got the reaction of Megan. It's like, I personally
did a man make it because that makes a big difference to me.
That
what
did a man make it?
I can't remember.
I think it was a woman. I think it's a woman for revenge.
Nonetheless, regardless of what you say, it's a great film.
Whoa!
What? You guys just jumped on judging it. That's why I'm like, well, do you guys judge it off that like that basis? Yeah. You know, like maybe watch a trailer then judge. Or,
okay. You did you judge female filmmaker?
Yeah, that's I.
Okay,
I
cool. Coraline Fargeet. An honest reaction, I too am like, ooh, if it's a rape revenge, that doesn't get me excited.
I tend to stay away from, although I actually talked about this with not to get too political, like with Brett Kavanaugh and like Bill Cosby and everything, of why rape revenge horror movie actually exists is one of those things of horror being therapeutic. And when it's a woman who does it, it can be seen as a way of empowerment, you know, in a system that survivors aren't always allowed to speak up. So you have this movie where you can kind of, you know, and I've had friends, you know, come like this is it can be therapeutic to watch something like this, like someone get their revenge, but it can also be triggering, too. And it also it can be exploitative, where it's like, is this really a revenge thing, or are we just watching, you know, who's it made for?
And whose gaze? Yeah, absolutely. This one, I haven't seen many, but this one I felt did a good job of tackling the issue and like her revenge was satisfying enough mm-hmm. and brutal that I was like, okay, I'm a little bit on for this, but it's definitely not one that I'd be like, I'm not going to watch it again. But I do recommend that was a well done if you're going to watch in that category.
It's a very specific subgenre.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, for me, it's one, like, that particular subgenre takes the wind out of my sails, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, because it's very rare where it's done well.
Sure.
Or it's done in a way that I don't feel exploited and, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. If that's your favorite, Tony, you know, I'm not going to harp on you. I'm just saying that, like, I'm like, I probably won't give it a go anytime soon.
That's
like
a huge.
That was just off the top of my
head. Yeah, we saw that recently when we talked about it in Horror Movie News as well.
If I were to go with my favorite, some of my favorite films that I consider horror would be, well, the top one would be Hereditary with Toni Collette.
She gave an amazing performance.
I like that movie, but
girl.
And also, I would also say Annihilation as well. That was
Annihilation is a female team as well.
Of course, that was actually very.
It's
solid.
What the Ghostbusters movie should have been.
Same vein as The Descent, where it's like, hey, we're gonna make this a mostly female cast in a genre where it'd normally be a bunch of male protagonists.
Have any of you guys I didn't love Annihilation. Seen that? Is it X or XX horror film?
Yes, I was disappointed by that one. Yeah. XX. It is an anthology women made horror films. Oh. The problem with them, for me personally, is they're mostly on motherhood and like mothering. And I'm like, okay, women are more than just being a mom.
Yeah.
There are some things in it that they do, and I appreciate it. It was on Netflix when I watched it. I was very excited before it came out, and I watched it. I'm like, okay. One of the sequences was really kind of cool where they do it, but they are short films, so you maybe do not get the full story that you'd want.
Yeah.
But we're seeing, because, female filmmakers, I was like, all right, I will check it out.
Yeah. Okay, how about ones where the monster is female? We haven't mentioned anything like that,
really.
Nun.
God.
Let me tell you something.
What?
That
it's bad?
No, listen. I feel like people didn't... It's old school horror. It did rely mainly on jump scares. But listen, like, the thing is, I think people get so nostalgic that they forget that in many franchises, a lot of times the first one was bad in comparison to some of the sequels where it actually got better. Friday the 13th. Jason wasn't even the killer in that one.
There's one where it's like, hey, woman!
That is a woman!
Yeah, exactly. And there's franchises where it gets better. I thought this laid a great groundwork for a really cool character, because when the nun was allowed to kind of give her personality here and there of taunting some of the victims of the things she did, I was like, I could see some badass sequels to this one. And I thought, it's not the best first movie, but honestly, Nightmare on Elm Street is like one of my favorite franchises. And although I like Nancy, the third one was the best one.
True story.
Out of that one. You know, the first one wasn't. The first one was solid, but the third one was the best one. So it's like, I feel like this has room to grow. And she's a woman. Like, Mother, I guess.
Mama.
That was a pretty good one, too.
I concur with your assessment about Nightmare on Elm Street 3. For me, I would have liked The Nun a lot better if it hadn't stolen its ending from Demon Knight. Jada Pinkett Smith in Demon Knight, I very much appreciate.
That's one of my favorite movies, too. Demon Knight is awesome.
It's a movie. I'm like, well, female monster, and definitely in the fear of men's minds, Teeth is a good one.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Oh, I thought because I was here, you're going to say The Ring.
That would be good too, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, Teeth is one that I actually really enjoyed that one. It's definitely a dark comedy. It's just an interesting exploration of that. I think The Ring is a great one with monsters. Female monster. The Grudge as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I also like Crimson Peak.
Yes, we saw Crimson Peak. That was a good one as well.
Gothic,
And I just blanked hardcore. Audition.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, baby. Now you're talking.
Yeah, I kind of like it when it's like she's just a real woman.
Bring out the piano wire.
Which is what Sweet Caroline is like.
Not a monster, but I think I was just thinking of gore and one because we talked about in Horror Movie News is Tag. Did you guys see Tag?
No.
It is so bizarre.
The one where they are just still playing tag 30 years later?
No.
that one.
I'd love if it had a horror movie twist in it.
No, there's a Japanese horror film called Tag. It is just Tag, right? Yeah, it's Tag.
Yes, it's Tag.
But what is chasing them is not what you expect whatsoever, and it is just all gore and the most bizarre direction it goes, but it explores some really fun and, like, wait, what is going on things? I'm pretty sure I watched that on Shudder.
There's an old school movie, and I'm blanking on it, but it's one where she is a mother, but she kills people when they're not polite. It's like a famous actress. And it's just like, it's one of those things where, like, she's a housewife, but she's like a single mother, and I have to look it up, because that was actually one of my first forays in, like, looking at this, a woman kind of just killing people, but also, like, baking a cake afterwards. Like, it was a comedy, but it was, like, a horror thing because she was killing people. It's, like, a famous thing, too. It's, like, a horror...
We're all like,
help me.
It's look it up.
I don't know.
Because when I think of iconic...
Looking it up right now.
Like, in terms of, like, iconic horror movie characters, in terms of, like, quote-unquote villains... the only female one that comes to my mind is Carrie, who plays the dual role of victim.
I would say her mom.
She's the monster. But, like, when you think of Carrie, you think of that image of her at the prom covered in blood.
Yeah.
And she it's one of the few examples of where somebody's playing the dual role of murderer and also victim.
Yes.
And, you know, very few horror icons are equally sympathetic but also terrifying.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, I've thrown it out there for Carrie. Good for Carrie.
super spoilery, but it's been out since the 90s. Urban Legend.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, she was the kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I always appreciated that,
bad guy
too.
As well. So that was like, ooh, nice surprise.
Also, if you haven't heard of this one or seen it, it's called Incident at Ghostland. I thought it was really great. It had a... pretty much it blindsided me with what it did, and I thought it was really great how it did it. Nice. If you haven't checked that one out.
Yeah. If you're into French exploitation, High Tension.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the one that came to mind.
American Mary.
Yeah, that one was an interesting one.
That it just didn't. I don't know. I feel like it just kind of like
had potential, and then it was like,
right? You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like okay, and then it was like, okay.
Yeah. And that one has some people that have like the genetic modifications as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That one again. Yeah. It starts off great, and then just.
Just plot wise, you're like, I'm not. Why? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Any other ones that come to mind, or any other?
Well, the alien in Alien.
This
Alien Queen.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, that wraps up on the movies. Real quick, any upcoming horror events or horror-related activities, movies, whatnot, you're looking forward to going to? Anybody?
I'm going to... this is so silly. Halloween time is up at Disneyland.
Yay!
And I'm going to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party for, like, the first time in years. pretty soon.
Cool.
Hollywood's Lombardi is doing a little freeform Halloween house pop-up because celebrating this year, two films are turning 25, and that's Hocus Pocus and The Nightmare Before Christmas. And so they're doing a little special thing where you can go and see set pieces from those movies. So I'll be doing that. There's a Hollywood Haunted Walking Tour that's going on right now. You guys can find discounted tickets on Gold Star for that. LA Haunted Hayride is also has also recently opened up. I'll be going to that at the later on in the month. And at the end of the month, guys, talking about The Nightmare Before Christmas, Danny Elfman is doing his Nightmare Before Christmas concert. So go and get tickets for that.
Nice. Samara, upcoming films, events, and things, and movies?
Yeah. I want to see The Little Stranger. Oh. I made the mistake of looking at a review, and now I'm like, do I still want to see The Little Stranger? But I just saw Lizzie, and I freaking loved that. So if you haven't seen Lizzie, it's hard to find, but really well worth it. Chloe Sevigny plays Lizzie Borden.
Yes.
And Kristen Stewart plays her.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like... all right. There's a moment, like, in the last third where I was like, why are you showing me this? And then they reveal why you're showing it, and I'm like, oh, okay, totally justified. Okay, good.
Solid choice.
Yeah, all right. I approve. At first I thought that was, like, overly explanatory, but now I see. And then, I mean, I have to plug it again. My own. Sweet Caroline, which plays the 5th at Sunscreen West in Hermosa Beach, plays the 17th at Silicon Beach Film Festival, and it plays the 28th at a festival that I cannot yet name.
Okay.
Contractually. Nice. So,
Ooh.
Chauncey?
Well, I'm just looking forward to some movies. Well, Streak Fest, of course.
Yes.
At the end of this week. But Halloween is coming out. So I'm excited to see what, you know, see what that's going to hold up to, since they totally aren't going with any of the other sequels, and it's just like from the first one, which confused me for a little bit. I was like, oh, okay, she's not, oh, it's a totally different, same character. And also, man, I just blanked on it.
Is anybody excited about Overlord?
Or Suspiria?
Well, Suspiria, I haven't seen, but Overlord, I like me my World War II movies, and then it's like, wait, monsters and Nazis and what?
I'm a little wary about Overlord because I worry about it being totally inconsistent because, like, you know, they're playing AC/DC in the trailer, and I'm like, that seems like an odd choice for a World War II horror piece.
Yeah.
But at the same, and also it was almost a Cloverfield movie. So I'm like, I'm sitting here going like, I don't know, guys. I know you weren't a fan, but I'm looking forward to seeing Hellfest.
I'm still going to watch that one, but I did, like, Carrie actually, like, tweeted about it, and I, like, did take the wind out myself, because I was like, oh.
Maybe going with lower expectations.
Yeah,
I would still go watch it.
I would say not necessarily don't go see it, but just it's not as great as the trailer made it out.
I'm excited about it because Bex Taylor Klaus,
who was
in Scream, and she's been in the AfterBuzz studio a number of times to talk on the Voltron After Show. She's in the movie, and I am so excited to see, because she seems really excited about it. So I'm excited to go see that, and Halloween as well. I can't wait.
And also, I mean, it's not like big film, but like Channel Zero is coming back, and I'm actually really excited about that. I think it's just a really great horror series. So I'm excited about this one. Is the 4th season, so
cool. Be really interesting. Personally, you go check out my tweet, which we'll give that handle. Hellfest, I felt, was meh. Had so much potential, but didn't quite deliver. Assassination Nation is out. That one I do recommend. That is one that, like, as I've talked about it, I'm like, oh, I actually really liked it. It is wild, so know that going in. Also, it takes a long time to actually get to the violence, so if you're, like, really excited about that part, it takes a while to get there, but they need to build up that world to make it that surprise of, like, ooh, we went there.
I feel like it had a hell of a tagline. Like, the bastard child of Heathers in the Purge.
I think that's a lot to live up to. I don't know. I wasn't too... I
knew, like, nothing about it, but I like, read the description and kind of read what people were saying. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. And then I was pleasantly surprised. But it's definitely... It's wild, and it's very indie vibe, but in a good way. I dug it. Yes. I'm going to Haunted Hayride this Friday. It's media, so stay tuned for that. Check out Scare Guy for the videos from the Queen Mary, Dark Harbor, and I'm like, what else is going on? That's kind of it. And then, follow will be in theaters hopefully soon, and we'll tweet about that. Thank you so much, Samara, coming in, and thank you, ladies, absolutely, for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Why don't we go down the line, and where can they find you online? We'll start at Chauncey.
You can find me at Miss Chauncey KR on Twitter and also on my YouTube channel. I just tonight uploaded my review of Terrifier, which is on Netflix, and it's a clown movie.
I'm Samara Howell. You can find me at Samara Howell on Twitter and Instagram. That's summer like the season, A like the first letter of the alphabet, and Howell like the people on Gilligan's Island. And then at Samara Howell Actress on Facebook.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to follow Silver Screams at Silver_Screams. I recently did a review for Followed, a horror Q&A, where I drink whiskey and my roommate asks questions while eating popcorn. So that's our horror Q&A series.
Cool. Yes, thank you, Chauncey and Megan, for those reviews on that. So go check out those. You can find me online at Carrie DeLane. That's KARIDLANE. But check out The Scare Guy for the videos. And then actually one that I'm like, you should follow me on social because I've been posting videos. I have a Halloween burlesque show coming up towards the end of the month. So that's very exciting. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for joining us. It was so fun talking about that. All these topics. Leave comments down below your favorite female horror films, lead cast, actors, directors, all that. Let us know what you thought. And if you've been to the haunted theme parks, let us know about those as well. Likes, dislikes, and horror movies of the season. All right, we'll see you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Something
strange. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the owners or principals.